welcome back to another episode of the Motherhood Adventure Podcast. As we discussed in the last episode, y'all know that the month of January for this year, we are talking about common goals that many people set at the beginning of the year. Woohoo! And without further ado, we figured we would tackle this rough subject of fitness and dieting, because we all know that this one is usually amongst the top of the list with people's goals. Erin, do you feel like this is the case?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like almost every person I've talked to has this at the top of their list, but it's one of those things that just kind of continually carries over year from year. And yeah, it's really hard to specifically pinpoint how to make it successful. So I love that you've chosen to do this as an episode.
I don't know if I've chosen this one.
I'm so glad you were nominated to do this as an episode.
Oh, no, I was talking more along the lines of it would be a good one to cover. But the issue with fitness and dieting and everything is it's such a huge and broad and even controversial topic that it's like having one small episode dedicated to this is like pressure, pressure, pressure. So, you know, sometime in the future, we might have to do like a month where we just focus on diet and fitness and whatnot. But today, we're just going to do like brief overview, quick tips, things like that, that kind of could possibly help with a lot of the fitness goals and whatnot that people, you know, are hoping to put on their list. And we just want to help other mamas, including ourselves, try to do their best with focusing on that for this upcoming year.
I think that's great.
Yeah. Without further ado, I want to make sure one of the number one things about why goals fail is because we don't have a good defining goal in mind with what the goal is. So with fitness, I think one of the main things that people need to do is to get really specific, not just putting like health and fitness, but break it down, ladies. We're talking about like, Why is health and fitness on your list this year? You know, what's the why behind it? And not only that, but like maybe even giving yourself a deeper meaning behind it, because when you've got something as a motivator rather than just shame, because shame is not a motivator, that you'll actually be able to define the real reason of why you put this on your list in the first place. So maybe even look at changing the language of rather than just writing, you know, I want to lose 20 pounds or something. Maybe it's more important that you change the language to be like, I want to feel better in my body. You know, yes, it's not as specific, but it's giving you a less shameful way of approaching your goal. You know, whether or not the 20 pounds is gone, you know, if you look at the science, if you're gaining muscle, it's probably going to weigh a whole lot more than the fat that you're trying to work off. So focus on how you want to feel with your body rather than a number on the scale. Another thing about getting really specific with your goals is a specific time frame. Having that is really important, because if you just put, I want to get fit, what does that even mean? You know, let's break it down. Let's get specific. Let's talk about like, I just want to focus on my arms. I just want to focus on my hips. I just want to focus, or I'm going to give myself a month in this category of my body, or I'm going to, you know, sit down and really figure out a way of how we can get specific with those goals. Because the more specific we can get, the more focused I think we can get as well, rather than, I don't know, what do I feel like working today? Maybe my arm lifting this Twix bar into my mouth. That kind of feels like a workout, right?
Yeah, I think that's great, because I think a lot of us do just put, I want to work out, or I want to get fit, or I want to lose weight. And it's not specific enough to really even, like you said, define what it is or define how we're going to obtain that. So I think that's great.
Yeah, even talking about like, I want to work out. Well, that's great, but if you put, I want to work out, and you do it January 1st for 10 minutes, you've done your goal because you have worked out.
Exactly.
You know, get a little bit more specific with that. And if you're one of those people that needs somebody to be a motivator, you know, grab a buddy or somebody that you can check in with and have them kind of join the journey on it too, because it seems like fitness and diet and all that is a common goal between other people. Might as well be like, hey, moms out there, you know, who wants to work on this specific goal this year and wants to buddy up with me? You know, if you've got somebody else that you can depend on or ask for motivation for, I think you're a lot more charged up to get that goal done and taken care of.
Yeah. And I think you could help somebody else like in the process, you know, it's like you said, and if you can do it together and both of you benefit from it, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Erin and I, with our other episode talking about like how we do goal check-ins with each other, we're goal buddies. It's good to have a goal buddy, because that way when I'm like, Erin, date nights is on my thing and I know that you rock at those, so I'm just going to depend on you for a little bit. You know, if you are a buddy with somebody that is really good with fitness, you're like, you know what, you're the motivator and you just drag me along with you for a little while until I kind of find my own motivator or my own motivation. Like, that's great. Just figure out different ways on how you want to reach that potential end goal in mind.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think having an accountability buddy makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I also think it's important to have a backup plan. A lot of the times the goals fail when, you know, one day you wake up and you're just like, I'm exhausted. I really don't want to. Or like you take a whole week off, or, you know, you're on vacation and you're just like, I'm going to put this on the back burner and then possibly even never get back on, because, you know, some days it's nice to not have to work out.
Right.
And I think having a backup plan of like on those rough days, you know, instead of like running some odd miles or getting on the spin bike or whatever, you're like, you know what, I just need a day to stretch and do some yoga or even meditate, you know, or even half of a workout. That is still working on the goal. Even if it's a step back, it's still accomplishing something. It's still reaching towards something. You're still doing what you have put on your list to get done. You just have to change a little bit of that definition, bend the bar a little, but you're still accomplishing things.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that I really like doing with the fitness thing is it doesn't have to be defined in one time frame. You know, there are days where I have to wake up, get the kids ready, and then I have a doctor's appointment. Like, when am I going to fit my workout in the day? And for me, sometimes that is just fitting movement in throughout the whole day, you know, doing dance parties with your kids, you know, during a commercial break, if you're, you know, folding clothes or watching TV late at night, like commercials come on, I'm going to do push-ups this entire commercial. And then the next commercial, I'm going to do sit-ups, you know, like find a place for your exercise to fit in if you have those rough days, you know, as a prerequisite before you want to scroll on social media. You're like, okay, I've got to do 100 jumping jacks before I'm going to hop on Facebook, you know, like figure out those little tricks to qualify to get your treat of social media or something else.
I like that. I think that's great to have to like work for those things.
Yeah, even getting specific about like setting up different days, you know, some days I'm going to do weights, some days I'm going to do cardio, you know, as long as you define your goals, I think you're going to be a lot better set to motivate yourself on how you want to accomplish that goal. Do you have any goals? I know that you put fitness on your goal from the last episode or so. What are some specific things that you put on yours?
I did put fitness.
Dun, dun, dun.
Specifically, I want to work on toning my legs, but you know, my fitness goals have changed now. I mean, I still have a very injured ankle, and so I have kind of had to define and then redefine. So I mean,
smart.
I still want to tone my legs, but obviously I'm not in the position to do that right now. And so my short-term goals are getting back to just walking normally and getting back to driving, being able to drive. And then slowly I do want to work up in the types of workouts that I'm doing, but ultimately I really want to get back on my spin bike and start doing regular workout routines. But I have to be realistic in that that's not going to be for probably a couple months. So Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are some of my...
No.
That's how my fitness journey is looking right now.
I love it. I love it. Because you, even like when you hit a speed bump, you're like, well, I'm chucking that out the door. It's like, no, what can I do? Or what am I looking forward to doing when I have the capabilities of doing it? I love it. Good job, Erin. Good job.
Thanks.
Okay. Now that we've talked about how to try to be more specific with setting goals, I think that a lot of people need to be very clean about their fitness goals going into it. Like I mentioned before, I want you to get really specific about the why behind your goal. You know, I want to feel good in my body. You know, not using shame as a motivator, because shame will never get you into a place where you feel like you've accomplished something. It's never going to be good enough. So just check that off the list right now. Shame is not going to motivate me to being more healthy. The reason why dieting, I think, is so tough is because, you know, there's such a big problem with the diet culture. You know, they try to make dieting look like it's this big happy thing, and I'm going to be, you know, the less weight I have, the more happy that I am. And so many people want to jump on that bandwagon thinking that if they reach that specific goal that they have, that then they'll be happy. You know, I think like in our More Than a Body episode, you need to find out ways to love yourself regardless of the size, the number, anything to do with like working for your worth. Your worth is already there. It's more about like how you want to feel as an individual, I think. Not only that, but there's also the science between diets is constantly changing. You know, growing up, it was like breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And now with other diet cultures, it's like, no, you want to skip breakfast. That'll help you this and that. And then it's like, well, don't eat bananas. And then, no, bananas are good for you. And what about all these oils and these fats? And oh, these oils and these fats are great. Like, I mean, you can't really depend on the science with that. Exactly. It's good. It's not bad. One thing that I don't think will ever change for me is the science of chocolate. That'll always be a good thing in my book.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also, you know, other factors that go into play with fitness. You know, people have hormonal imbalances, PCOS, testosterone versus estrogen, you know, being out of whack. One of the best things that I think people can do before they start on their fitness journey is meet up with a doctor, maybe getting your hormones tested. Other things that could be hindering that factor of things that are out of balance, you know, I hear a lot of talk about leaky gut syndrome, and a lot of people that might not know what leaky gut syndrome is, you know, inside the gut area of your body, you know, there's this wall, which is like a net of like smaller holes, and these small holes, they act like filters and enable, you know, the passage of certain substances, but you know, as you've got more harmful substances that enter your body, you know, some of those substances will leak out, you know, like gluten, bacteria, undigested food, and then that leaks into your gut and isn't processed through your body. And so your body's just holding on to leftovers, really. So meeting up with a doctor, trying to fix that gut leakage or anything like that, that's going to help you way more than like running a marathon. So there's a whole lot of things that go into fitness than just working out or dieting. So I'm just going to leave that there.
Oh, I really like your perspective. I think it's great.
Yeah, getting clean on this. So Erin, I guess a question that I have for you is why do you think, you know, there are other reasons of why diets or fitness goals tend to fail?
I agree with you, Jessica. I feel like often we set unrealistic expectations for ourselves. You know, I'm going to go off of sugar 100%. I'm going to work out for 1 hour every day. And then the first time we slip up and we have a Dr. Pepper, or the first time we miss a workout, we just feel like we've derailed and we've failed ourselves, and it's just not even worth picking up and trying again. And so I think to set realistic goals that will fit within our lives, like you said, we have to accommodate the fact that we are human and that it's probably not going to go perfectly. And that way we can pick back up and get back in the game and not give up, you know, 3 weeks into the year. So I think it's so important that we set realistic expectations and that we also have them well defined, like you said, so that we have a really good guide for how we're going to get through this and then how we're going to get through this when we mess up, because it's likely that we're not going to be able to maintain this 100% of the time.
Yes. Especially like those diets of like no sugar. I'm like, oh, that sounds like an impossibility. I love sugar. Like, why would I do that to myself? Too.
And I think if I were to cut that out, even if I could do it successfully for 30 days, I would more than intake what I would have eaten in that 30 days, like in the following week, because I just love it so much.
Yes.
So
I hear a lot of talk about intermittent fasting and how beneficial that is. And yes, I do agree that there are some total benefits to doing that. But if you're going from fasting, and I can't wait until I'm done with the fast and I'm going to gorge and gorge and gorge, you know, are you really getting the benefit of what that intermittent fasting is doing for you? Or are you just looking forward to the meal or even multiple meals after you're done with the fast? You know, once, if you're having that mentality of like, once this diet is over, then I can't wait to eat this and this and this. And so it's like, you're hurting your body even more by trying to fix it and then to derail itself over and over until your brain's like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And not only that, but not every diet works for every person. Like myself, I love sugar too much. Don't you dare put me on a sugar-free diet. Like, sugar is one of its own food groups. I love it. I'm not giving that up.
Yeah. You and me both, Jess. You and me both.
And just that reminder of changing your appearance in some way to solve what you believe is a problem so that you can hopefully one day learn to love yourself, you know, that is unhealthy as well. I think when people start a diet hoping that, oh, like I said, shame is not a motivator. One day if I lose something of this or if I'm more healthy with that, then I'll love myself. Like, that is a very unhealthy approach to wanting to get healthier. If you're going to start it off trying to get healthy in an unhealthy way, I don't think you're going to reach that goal. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the best ways, I think, to start with the diet and fitness thing is to look at your current lifestyle habits. What is your water intake like? What is your sleep like? What does your schedule look like? How is your stress life? Erin, why are you laughing?
Is anyone else like flunking the whole course Jessica just laid out, or is that just me? Particularly water intake. I'm like, it'll be like 4 p.m. and I'm like, Justin, I don't think I've even had like a thimble of water today. I guess I should drink some water.
Yes. I used to be the exact same way. And now I'm just like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm constantly thirsty. I love me some water. But yeah, looking at those lifestyle habits on things you can change that you think should be simple rather than, you know, I'm going to run 40 minutes. How about you focus on, I'm going to set a bedtime so I can have a good, healthy sleep. I'm going to intake more water because that's really healthy for my body. You know, it doesn't have to be, I'm going to work out or I'm not going to eat sugar. Why don't you try to drink more water, get a better sleep, you know, figure out ways of how to manage my stress. That is still health, people.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you're saying, hey, instead of reaching outside of all of these things, just focus on your basic needs first and then build on that.
And with that, I think mental fitness as well plays a huge part in it as well. So many things happen to your body when it is in stress mode. And I am speaking from experience. I feel like my body, the engine of my body is just stress. So I've had to do a lot of meditation, yoga, journaling, things like that, because when my stress level, I feel like, is down, my body is able to approach food, water, other things like that in a much more healthy way than the bottling that my stressful body wants to tend to hold on to. So you can also look health as in more of a mental capacity rather than just running. But I know that running and those types of things definitely help with the mental game that's in our mind. So figure out what's going to work best for you in the defining portion of your goals.
Yeah, I like that. I like that that you're kind of saying, hey, these things all link together. So, you know, focus on more than maybe just the physical, which I think is what everyone thinks of right off the bat.
I think, speaking of the physical, you know, like I said, diets aren't for everyone. Well, specific workouts aren't for everyone. I am constantly telling Erin, you should try yoga. You should try yoga. And she's shaking her head up there like, no. You know, for some people, they want to go to the gym. For people like me, we want to hide in a corner and work out. You know, for other people, they want to do a spin class and be amongst peers and whatnot. It depends on what you like to do, because if you're going to like doing it, then I think you'll be more motivated in doing it. Same with trying different diets, you know, something that you like to do. Like, I would not like to do a sugar fast at all. I would dislike that. So don't, I wouldn't want to do that. I think a lot of people need to figure out this portion of setting your goals before just jumping in and doing it. I know it seems like it's a lot to think about, but I think if you've got that good starting part, you know, the process of the whole thing will go much more cleaner if you're going to start off with a healthier approach to things. You know, instead of a diet, maybe look at doing intuitive eating, which is huge right now. Intermittent fasting was kind of, you know, a newer thing, but intuitive eating, I think, is maybe a much more healthy approach, you know, focusing in on your body. And along those lines, I've got, you know, some quick tips that I can end on with things that I feel like help me with my own fitness life, because I really enjoy the fitness type thing because of how it makes my body feel. So number one and most important, sleep. Sleep is the basis of everything. So you make sure that you get enough of it. You want to set a bedtime. And, you know, if somebody wants to go back to our grounding exercises, our sleep episode to help them, feel free to do so. I have a hard time sleeping, so even though I know it's something that I struggle with, I also know that it's one of the most important things that I can do, because your body needs that time. So sometimes when it's like, well, I'm not tired, it's like, too bad, sleep is important. I know it's something Erin says that she struggles with as well, but I know that she has been doing really good with getting better at her sleep. So you go, girl.
I have. It's taken a long time, though, like literally years.
And sometimes it will take your whole life, I think, because there are some days where I get great sleep and some days where I don't sleep. So it's balance, people. Another tip is drink more water. Anytime that you don't think that you're drinking enough, that you think you're drinking too much water, no, you probably need to drink more. So water, second thing, it's the second basis for everything. Our bodies are made up of so much water that any time that you're bored and you want to reach for a snack, grab a cup of water. Anytime that you first wake up, drink a cup of water. Start that metabolism going. Anytime that you want to sit down for a meal, the best thing that you can do for yourself is to drink a cup of water. You start the metabolism going before you start eating. Therefore, the machine's already going. It's just asking for food to be shoved down in the pit. And with eating, because water will just go right, will just keep going right into it. When you eat, the best thing that you can do is eat the vegetables first. You know, get full off of the things that are most beneficial to you. If you're looking at dieting or whatnot, instead of starting off with that slice of pizza or whatnot, start with the salad, start with the fruit on the side or whatever, so that you get full off of those things rather than gorge yourself on the meal and then be like, I'm too full for my vegetables on the side. Thems are important, so please eat them first.
Yeah, I feel like I've always been like, man, anytime I go to Olive Garden, I always fill up on the salad and then I don't want as much pasta, but like, honestly, that's a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing if I'm filling up on salad first. So,
well, it's a great thing also for your kids. You know, I know plenty of people that make sure that their kids eat their vegetables first before they even serve the main part of the meal. Because then when your kids are the hungriest, they're just going to want to eat whatever's in front of them. But if you just give them a plate, they're only going to eat what they really want to eat rather than the vegetables on the side. So you're not begging them to eat that. Start with the vegetables or the fruit. See how it works for you. A next tip that I have I'm calling it be a plate pusher. So stop eating when you are full. And eating slow is a good thing because I have heard that it takes 20 minutes for your stomach to communicate with your brain to tell it that it's full. So it's okay to eat slow. It's okay to listen to your body. And it's really okay to push the plate away when you're feeling full.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Growing up, it was, you're not allowed to leave the table until you've eaten everything. And so there are a lot of things that are like ingrained in my brain of like, but you're not finished. You can't get down until you've finished your food. But it's like, but I'm full. I don't really have to push myself into eating something when I'm full. Like,
yeah. And for me, the biggest problem, or I would say the biggest struggle with this, happens at restaurants because it's just kind of like as I'm sitting there and being part of the conversation, I'm just like just kind of grazing without thinking about it, even though I'm like stuffed. And so I would just say, don't be afraid to get a box. Even if you're not quite ready for the check, just ask for a box, box it up, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. Good job, Erin.
Thanks.
You're welcome. One of the things that we like doing in the summertime is after we eat, we take a walk. So you've turned on your metabolism with drinking the water. You've eaten your meal, veggies first, of course. And then afterwards, about 10 minutes afterwards, because, you know, you're full. So give it just a minute. Go out and start walking. You know, keep that metabolism working with you. Even if it's just like a quick walk, I think you'll feel so much better. Sometimes I eat a meal and I'm like, oh, I just want to sit for a minute, maybe take a little nap. I think if you can get up and you can walk it off, then your metabolism and your body's going to work with you to process that meal. Okay. Another tip I have, keep commitments with yourself as if you were keeping it with a friend. You know, if you would show up to like a lunch date or a dinner date for a friend, then you can certainly show up to something for yourself. You know, if you treat yourself like your friend, hopefully you'll be able to keep that commitment better. So that's a tip.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, another, and I think final tip, at least for me, is tune in to your body and how it feels and not what you're programmed to believe about food. So like I said, you know, with growing up, you have your food that you're given and you cannot leave until that is eaten. Maybe question that, you know, but I'm full. I shouldn't have to finish this plate. And not only that, but there are other people that just have this thing about food. I just love to eat. And that's great because, you know, there is that dopamine hit of when you put food in your mouth. But the cool thing about dopamine is after you've had that first or second bite, the dopamine's already in your system. You don't have to finish that. So you want that key lime pie, you take a bite or two and you're like, man, that tasted good. I don't even have to finish this. Like, that's great. You can chuck the pie. You've already gotten your dopamine hit. So for people that just love food, like you can love food, but you don't have to love all the food. You can just love tasting the food rather than eating all the food. Just going to put that out there. Erin, was there any quick tips that you wanted to add with it?
I would say, just like you kind of mentioned earlier in your episode, just take any large goals that you have and really break it up into baby steps, because I think if you can get a taste of accomplishing part of that goal, it just makes you that much more motivated to want to keep going. And so I think if you can break it down into baby steps, even with water, you know, if you're like, dang, I really should be drinking a gallon of water a day and I'm not even getting a thimble, you know, I can't wake up tomorrow expecting to drink a gallon. And so, you know, just start with, hey, I'm going to wake up every morning drinking a glass. And then once I've got that down, try to build up from there. And I think whether it's working out, whether it's diet, whether it's, you know, water intake, sleep, whatever it is, I think if you can break it into baby steps of like, okay, let's just get to this step. And then once you get to that step, you know, build up the next step, that's going to keep you from maybe feeling so discouraged. So yeah, I think I really loved everything you outlined there. And it helped me to kind of think of really how I'm going to try to tackle these fitness goals for the year, and hopefully helped everybody else too. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I love everything that you just said with the water thing. man, I love the water bottles that have like lines in them that says drink this much by 11, drink this much by noon. Because I feel like I'm supposed to drink a gallon of water. You know, you're waking up and you're like, who in their right mind can drink all this? But when you break it out into like small little goals, it's so much easier to get things accomplished. So I absolutely love that. Pace yourselves, but know that you can do it. Pace yourself.
Exactly.
Push yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And with that, we hope that you guys enjoyed the episode. If you've got other quick tips and things like that that you love and you want to share with your moms, go ahead and email us motherhoodadventurepod@gmail.com. And we want to spread the love too. So give us the tips so we can spread the wealth. And hopefully we'll have some other fitness episodes in the future. But for right now, I hope this one gets that fitness goal journey started for you and you can come up with different ideas of defining your goals and coming from a much healthier place. So good luck with your goals, ladies. I'm excited for you. Till next time. We want to be a part of your adventure too. So submit your topics, questions, or silly stories to us at motherhoodadventurepod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes.
Become part of our mom tribe by following us on Facebook and Instagram so you don't miss a mess-filled mom moment. Thanks for joining us through our journey of tantrums, triumphs, and teamwork.
Till next time.